to everyone out there in radio land. How are you doing today? Welcome to A Voice of a People, live with Linda Sims here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. We also stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You can also download free app called TuneIn on any electronic device and search WWGH. Or you can call in if you have any questions in regards to the show that we're doing. Telephone number 740-383-9944 for questions or comments. This is April 26, 2022, the 126th day in the year. Remaining are 199 days. Sharing with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio, 740-223-1515. Or www.logoschristianministries.com. Ongoing announcement, free produce. Every third Saturday of every month. The next one will be March the 21st, 12 noon to 2 p.m. They also will be having another event the same day. Health fair. Free food and prizes. Health Department and Habitat for Humanity will be a part of this. There will be screenings for high blood pressure, diabetes, stroke awareness, heart and vascular disease, and mental health wellness. So it should be a fun day at Logos Christian Ministries, the third Saturday of the month of May, the 21st. Also, we have an announcement. CEF, Child Evangelism Fellowship, will be having a rummage sale. Proceeds go to the Good News Club for Marion and Union Counties. This sale will take place at Marion Grace Church, 2813 Gooding Road, from 9 to 5. This will take place April the 29th and 30th, Friday and Saturday. And it will start up again May the 5th, 6th and the 7th, Thursday and Friday, 9 to 5, except for Saturday. They will close down at 2 p.m. So mark those things down on your calendar. One more announcement. Solid Rock Church of God in Christ will be celebrating Women's Day Sunday, May the 15th, 2022. It begins at 11:15. Dinner will be served immediately following service. Guest speaker, Minister Shirlene Reese. This will take place again at Solid Rock, 699 North State Street, Marion, Ohio. Pastor there is Tommy T. Reese. All right, now I have a thought for today, which I like to do. Oh, wait a minute. Inspect Ohio, your one-call home inspection company with 30 years of experience working for you. Owner Cheryl Lee, location LaRue, Ohio. Thought for today. Talking to the self. Just give me a second to bring it up. All right. Talking to the self. I think I need to do more of that myself. I don't know about you. When you talk to yourself in your mind, which self do you address and how? Usually people do not talk to their divinity, but to the most superficial aspects of their everyday personality. And often it's a stream of fears, complaint, and mindless repetition of old things. If we talk that way to another human being, we would have to apologize. Learning to talk properly to the self is a spiritual endeavor. Thoughts from the past and worries about the future do not create good conversation. Instead, learn to talk to your mind as if it were a child. Talk to it with love. If you just force a child to sit down, he won't. A good mother knows how to prompt her child into doing what she wants. Be a good mother to your mind. Teach it good, positive thoughts so that when you tell it to sit quietly, it will. Love your mind. Stay happy. Now I'm excited to be back in the house. My dynamic duo couple is here. We're doing Singles Choosing God's Best. I know y'all been waiting on Kimba Hubbard and Tim Jones. Well, they're back today. Okay, so how have you two been doing? Kimba, we're going to start with you. How are you, Kimba?
I am well, thank you.
Good, good. So good to see you.
It's nice to be here. It's been a while.
Yes, it has.
It's been a while.
So you don't have to tell me. I was trying to get here and couldn't.
You had some barriers and some roadblocks.
Yes.
But you have overcome.
Oh, praise God. Praise God. I just feel so
You have
liberated.
A testimony.
Yes, I do. I feel so liberated. How you been, Tim?
I've been good. Ego being tested. Pride. You know, but it's good to be home.
Amen.
Good to be here. Good to be back. I'll tell you that for sure.
Amen. I like the way you said that. Ego and pride being tested, and it's always tested, you know.
Yes, yes.
That pride is a monster. Whoa. You know, sometimes I think that's why I fell.
Oh, really?
I do. Because I'm so energetic, and I'm always moving and doing this and doing that, and sometimes I think I can feel like, well, I'm good to go. You know, I'm always in pretty good health. I'm always moving, doing this, but like, oh, no. Things can happen to you too, right? But I'm glad it was minimal.
Absolutely. It could have been a lot worse.
Oh, yes. Yes, it could have been. Now, we want to talk about Singles Choosing God's Best. We just, you know, I meant to get that book, but so much was going on today, and I didn't get a chance to grab it. We just went through the Singles Choosing God's Best. The book was titled Outdated. It was, what, 6 weeks?
8 weeks?
We did that 8 weeks?
8 weeks, yes, we did.
Okay. So we're going to recap on some of that because we never got a chance to come back after we finished the book. And it's titled
Outdated, Find Love That Lasts When Dating Has Changed by Jonathan Pluta.
Now, as we went through that book, what sticks in your mind?
Who you starting with, Tim or me?
I'm going to start with you, Kimba.
Oh, good gracious.
What stood out the...
Ladies first.
Well, the first thing that struck me was the difference between a soulmate, S-O-U-L-M-A-T, and a soulmate, S-O-L-E-M-A-T. And how kind of low-key I was looking for a soulmate. You know, that one person may be out there for me. And he explained that really our goal should be looking for a soulmate, someone who is as whole as you are, and then together you can move forth in purpose and destiny. And how that is, you know, he kind of talked about how to do that, which we don't have to go over that now, but we had a really juicy chapter that talked about sex and love and how to date, which you did an excellent job on. But one of the things that really stuck out to me that I was just looking for is, you know, dating is about gathering information. And he talked about how every date you go on, which Tim and I now have an inside joke about, is you're looking for green lights, like I can continue going with this person. Mm-hmm. A yellow light, like, okay, I'm going to pause and think about that and observe that behavior further, ask some questions. And then red light, which can be, you know, are deal breakers, or can just be a place where you need to have a more in-depth conversation about something. So he didn't really put time frames that I've heard before about how long to date. You know, you've heard people say through the four seasons. I just heard a guy the other day said infatuation in our brain lasts 18 months. And that's not what our author suggested. He suggests you go until you gather the information, get enough of those green lights to move forward to decide this is a person I want to spend the rest of my life with.
Right. Because if you get a lot of yellow lights and red lights, then it's time to back off, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Keep going.
Don't keep trying to press the issue. Right. And he also talked a little bit about that, about how to break up. So those are some of the things that really caused me to pause and that I've been sharing with other people.
Good, good, good. How about you, Tim? What stuck with you?
I think in the beginning, man, like the first chapters, when I was talking about playing games,
mm-hmm.
That was big. That was big because it. I think everybody that kind of read that had to stop and pause. Like, man, am I playing games? Mm-hmm. Am I playing with people's emotions and feelings? And am I dating with a purpose or I'm just going through the motions? So that was like a big eye opener, and it anything that kind of can get me to, like, retrospect and step back, that definitely had a deep impact on me. So that was one of my favorite chapters. And I still think about that, you know, to this day. Like, man, don't be
Am I
no
serious,
games.
Right? Yeah, am I really serious? Do I really want this? Right.
Yeah, where are you trying to go with this? You know, are you just dating just to be dating, or do you have a purpose? Is the end goal marriage or whatever? Are you just doing something just to get time to pass by? Are you just passing time by with it? So you really have to ask yourself that question, and it has to be legit, and you have to really be honest with yourself.
Right.
With that.
I had to ask myself that same question. That stuck me for a long time, you know, because I think we get so used to it, especially when you've been single a long time. It gets monotonous, you know what I mean? It's like a ritual. You go through what you go through, you say what you say, and it may be even the same thing, you know, but... And I think sometimes we expect the same results.
Yes. Yep.
And that's not good, is it, if we're really intentional, right? We should not be expecting the same results. Boy, I really got some work to do.
We all do.
Still on myself, you know what I'm saying? So, yes, because I was just asking the Lord before I came today. I did get a couple minutes to myself, you know. What do I need to change about me, if anything? You know, because change does begin with you individually. You know, you can't get in a relationship, well, they won't change, they won't do this, they won't do that. So you have to look at yourself and say, change begins with me. So what do I need to change? The way I talk, you know, the way I act, something, you know. So it was a dynamic book. The information was out the wahoo. Mm-hmm. He really hit home.
He did.
He really hit home. He held back no punches.
No, he did not.
About things that we should expect and think we should be willing to do and work on ourselves and prepare ourselves for what we say we want.
Yes. And I think another chapter that really impacted me was is living together, replacing marriage. That one was huge, too. So
let's do a Tim Jones quote. He said, marriage is a promise to God. Cohabiting is a promise to you. Yeah, you can tweet that. I was like, oh, okay.
Whoa. Well, I mean, that's where people are nowadays.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you'll get people living together 7 to 10 years, not married, you know. And it's crazy. It just seems like that's the norm. That's the thing to do. Because honestly, sometimes, like, even like when you're on these dating sites and stuff, like, you'll see in somebody's profile looking for something long term. Right? So what does that mean? You want to live together for 10 years, 12 years, 5 years, 7 years, 3 years? You know what I mean? Like, or is your purpose to be married? You know what I mean? And live together on that. So you see it a lot. Long-term relationship, like, you really have to define what does that really look like to you? What does that mean to you? Does that mean we just kicking it for 10 years? We together?
Right.
10 years, let's say, no ring, no date set, nothing like that, you know? That's what you want, okay. But you have to define those things. And you have to know that. Hopefully that's something you know going in, you know, so you can kind of know what to expect. And that's a goal, too. That can be a goal. Like, I think I'll have a lot more respect when a woman say, hey, I want to be married in 5 years.
I know, that's
years,
right.
Or whatever it may be. At least I know. And now I have something to... I have something to work towards, you know, and you go in with a little bit more serious mindset.
True.
Than this game. Like, okay, cool. She want to be married 5 years. Okay, let me get my crap together. Because as men, there's certain things that we need to get together. Like, definitely, like, financial. If we don't feel like we're there financially, that can make it tough, right?
Right, right.
Not necessarily saying that the woman won't help or anything, but it's just that clock is ticking for us. Just right. Like a woman's biological clock is ticking for her.
Right.
That clock is ticking for us because we want to be able to provide, you know, in every aspect that we can. Not just, you know, we want to give you what you want, but most importantly, we want to at least make sure we can cover the basis, your needs. We want to at least make sure that's done first.
Right.
You know, so.
Right. That's good, though. That's good. The cohabitation is... not what God intended.
No.
And the other thing that stood out to me was did God intend for us to have broken hearts? That was something to really think about, too. How many broken hearts have you had? You know what I mean? Well, maybe no more than one than I can count on one hand, maybe, you know. But it happened, so how can I say it? So nonchalant. Mm-hmm. Oh, well. You know the principle. Oh, well, you lost this time. I'm about my business. I'm moving on, you know. Or it could be vice versa. We can feel the same way. Well, I'm tired of this. I don't want to go any further. After a person has invested themselves in you, too, you know, like you said, going beyond the point that you already know that you're not going to go with this, you know, but you're still hanging on. Like you say, putting up with that. What was that example he gave us? The person was putting up with an action that the girlfriend was doing, and all of a sudden he said, well, I don't like that. Yeah, I don't like that, you know. But how long did he put up with it?
Right.
For a while.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So you can break other people's hearts, too, you know. So what else, Kimba?
Well, on that same note, one of the things the author said is clarity is kindness in a relationship. So don't hold on to someone when you need to let go of them. And in the same chapter that Tim presented, Pastor Rowe was there, and he talked about how are we actively preparing to be married. Mm-hmm. And the author challenged us in that. He talked about how his first broken heart was in high school, and so then he created this pattern of getting with girls and going to the next girl and going to the next girl. And how many of us do that, you know, from, you know, high school.
Right.
When we're still developing who we are, much less knowing who someone else is.
Right.
And how we've developed, unfortunately, in this society that sets us up for broken hearts and sets us up to not really date the way that God intended, to play games and not create that clarity because we don't have it for ourselves.
Right.
And we're not always honest with each other. And so that's what was Pastor's challenge. Like, can you really explain how you've actively prepared for marriage? Well, you can't do that if you keep going from one person to the next person to the next person.
No, you can't.
And you're not doing anything, like you said, like you were saying, you were going before the Lord and said, what do I need to do? And I think that was one of the sweet things God did for us in book club. Every person was able to say, this is where I'm being challenged. This is what I want to talk about. This is how I've, you know, God has provided some clarity because we all have blind spots.
Yes, we do.
And that's the productivity of community, is to be able to be in a safe place to talk about those. So I can honestly say, and you all were there, I think everyone was impacted by something and left there in a better place to be prepared to choosing God's best.
And then, you know, I think there are some things we don't want to deal with. We don't want to change. And sometimes those are the very things we need to challenge and change, you know. Because we get used to ourselves, too.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's why I'm saying, well, what do I need to change? And I might already know what I need to change. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes, like I had said before we stopped, sometimes I won't go to God and ask him because I feel like I know what he's going to say to me. Right. But I just had to ask him today, just bring it on, whatever it is, just tell me, you know, even if it hurts my feelings, but I want to move on. I want to get up and I want to move on. So we did have a nice little group at the book club.
Yes, we did.
Nice little group. Age differences, but all coming for the same food, to be spiritually fed and want to live the way God wants us to live. So what else? You think of, Tim?
I don't know. The whole book club, I mean, people missed out, man. It was just a great experience. I mean, just to hear everybody's different perspectives, you know, from the different age groups, you know. I think Brett had a great perspective
coming
from college, you know, and you know, some of the things that she dealt with and learned. So her perspective was pretty cool on certain things. Miss Betty, you know, how wise she is and funny
right.
she is. Like, it was just good to just have all that, what I call game and wisdom,
yes.
you know, in the room and different experiences and different life points, because you kind of can see where you at, and you know, there's some things you might not agree with, or even agree with, or foresee, you know, coming in the future, and those things. It was just overall just just good, impactful. A lot of people, you know, missed out. Everybody can benefit.
Yeah, we had some discussions on points that some people did not always agree with things that the author said, you know, when it came to him stating beauty is fleeting. We had some very lively discussions about that. So, you know, I think we had some really good real talk.
Yeah.
You know, so I hope people aren't intimidated. It is at the church, but, you know, we do have real talk. We're talking about real issues because that's what Jesus did. You know, he was in the temple, but he also went out among the people to talk about how to live life. And that's our goal. And one of the things I really liked he said as well in the last chapter that really impacted me is the myth of the happily ever after. And as a hopeless romantic, he kind of broke my heart a little bit. But he said that, you know, marriage is not a promise you will be happy or make someone happy. Do we really understand what we're signing up for when it comes to marriage? And his three points were, number one, serving sacrificially or dying to yourself. I know you all are writing that down. Yeah. striving for oneness consistently. So making your relationship a priority. We'll stick with the covenant and until death do us part. You know, so are you willing to work through those issues? And so I thought that was a really good point, because as we've talked about before, Tim and I on this show, how many times we've heard people say, well, I'm not happy. You know, I'm going to move out, or I'm going to break up, or I'm going to get a divorce. But, you know, marriage is not about being happy. And he was real clear about that. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things I appreciate about the book and what he brought out in that last chapter. We had some interesting conversations about that.
Yeah, because I do think that idea of it is very taboo. Get married and be happy. And then you realize it's a lot of work, and sometimes work don't make you very happy.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Especially when it's difficult.
Right.
Difficult work doesn't make us happy.
Right.
You know, work is cool when it's smooth and it's everything going smooth. That's when it's cool. You know, we happy then. But
yep.
Anytime it gets a little bit difficult, a little bit rocky,
right,
it's not happy. You know, so like you said, kind of get rid of that taboo of thinking. Just understand, like, it's a process. And it's like the roller coaster. You're going to have the ups. You're going to have the downs, you know, and your communication based upon that. I think you'll get through it. How well you can communicate and understand how much you love each other and understand that you can get through anything. You put the Father first, you know, understanding that where that foundation is, you know. And don't be so quick. Like I see a lot of people seem like they're very quick to exit the relationship. And it could just be because social media, the grass is always greener type syndrome, the microwave syndrome, whatever we want to call it. It's just when you feel like you got so many options, you know, that relationship can become not as high as a priority as it once was. It can drop down on that list, you know. So.
Right, right. He says here in chapter 5, the lie, you should follow your heart. The truth, you should tell your heart what to follow. Do you remember anything about that chapter?
Yes, that's funny because I was getting ready to bring up that. So we started that with Pastor Betty led, and she had us write down five qualities we wanted in a date and what we were willing to sacrifice. I was struggling too. I was like, I've done this a million times, but it was really interesting because part of what he talked about in that chapter is training our vision and sight, which is what Pastor Roe has also been talking about, right? Like, Samson didn't do that with Delilah, and that brought up a lot of conversation. He lost his sight because he aligned with a vision with Delilah that was not of God. And how many times do we do that? We align with a vision that's not of God with this person, and we lose our sight.
Yes.
Maybe that's where love is blind kind of comes from.
Yes.
And so how can we be intentional about that? And we started defining some of these words, love and beauty and infatuation and how that all looks. And so, yeah, that was cause to pause, that relationship is really about my vision and your vision and purpose lining up to, like Tim said, what the Father has for you. But we often don't do that. And a lot of times I think that's because we do get disappointed, as you said before. You know, if you've been disappointed, your heart's been hurt since 12, 13, 14, 15, mm-hmm. then sometimes we go into dating with the wrong premise and the wrong focus, like Tim just said. And he was really challenging us about that. So why work with somebody that's not your person? But we do it all the time. We do it all the time.
Because we're trying to make them into our person. Yeah. Is that it?
Yeah, I think we try to shape and mold people into the people that, to the person which we want them to be, or idealistically, you know. But I think Kimber hit on a good point. You know, you have to come in with an understanding where you're going. You know what I mean? And where you're trying to be, right? Because if our goals align and we're going the same way, you can ride with me, mm-hmm. right? So right. If I'm going to Columbus and you're going to Columbus, you can ride with me.
Right.
But if you're going to Cleveland and I'm going to Columbus, you can't ride with me because I'm not going all the way up to Cleveland to go, right. you know, to turn all the way back around to go to my destination. All right. So we have to understand where we're both going and, you know, talk to God about it. And if it aligns, let's go together. That's even better. That's even yep. better. It's going to be a beautiful journey and we're going to have fun because if you hop in a car with me, and you think we're going to Cleveland and I'm going to Columbus, it's going to be an argument the whole way. I'm trying to tell you because I'm not stopping this car. I'm not turning
right,
around.
Right.
You know? So.
Yeah, and that's, yeah. You're inviting a fight.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to make him take me where I want to go. Right. First.
Yeah, and then whose destination is more important?
Right. Exactly.
Of course, yours is going to be the most important to you. Mine's going to be the most important to me. You know, and now it depends on who's in that driver's seat,
mm-hmm.
who's in the passenger seat.
That's another interesting thing that he talked about that I had never really thought about is interest when you look at being compatible, which we've talked about that so many times, and how him and his wife began with the same interests, cruises and comedy shows.
Right.
And now here 25 years later, you couldn't catch his wife on a cruise or at a comedy show. And so, again, a lot of times our foundation, our basis, and I mean, that never struck me like, oh, I got to find this guy who's into sports, right? Because I watch football every Sunday. But really, should that be a criteria? Because your interests change. And he said, but if you're both chasing after Jesus, that never changes. And I was like, that is such a good point. So, I mean, there was some, and then the question and answer session that he had was also very good. The videos that we watched as well. So I don't know. It was just packed so full of stuff.
He said he was 6'7", I think, and his wife was 5'3". Yeah. You're like, okay.
Yeah, because he started off with saying, is there someone more compatible with my wife? Just based on that.
Right.
Their height. He said, yeah. I was like, oh my. I've never heard anybody say that. He said, but that's not why we got married.
Right.
Because we're compatible. We got married off of purpose. Mm-hmm. I was like, good thoughts.
Now that's deep.
Yeah.
That's deep right there.
And I think Pastor Betty, you know, started that. I don't know if she knew she was doing that when she was asking us what we were willing to sacrifice on our sheet of paper, which right. I would encourage you to do. Once I was five top qualities for someone to date, and then things that you're willing to sacrifice. So, you know, one of mine was that this person isn't organized, and I kind of shared why I thought that was so important. But, you know, have we really challenged ourselves, you know, in that area of either allowing to being open to someone who isn't our type or being real about something we really can't deal with that we do deal with? Because we do that a lot. I don't know if men do it as much as women, but man, women, we make so many compromises. And then the next thing we know, we're 2 years in and we're like, shh, now we got history. And it's like, yeah, but you know, back in year one, when you saw this and then the other and you had those conversations and the behavior didn't change, maybe that would have been a good time to exit.
Is that compromising or do women do a lot of overlooking? I think y'all see a lot of red flags and y'all overlook it.
I think women are created to be nurturers, yeah. So we think we can nurture you onto the potential of you changing.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I said earlier, trying to shape and mold a person.
Especially if you say you're going to. And let's just take smoking as an example, and this is no condemnation. I have people I love that smoke, but, you know, if I say to you, you know, that's a big deal to me because of X, Y, and Z, and you say, I agree, and I want to quit, then I'm going to take you at your word, but I need to see you walk that out some kind of way. Do you know what I'm saying? And so then when it's 5 years later and we're living together, then it's a problem because I don't like that my clothes stink. Well, they stunk for 5 years, but in my mind, I had a kind of a timeline of when I was going to give you to allow you to quit smoking. And that's what I mean by women making compromises or overlooking things, because we're nurturers, mm-hmm. and God created us to be a helpmate. Yeah. He created us to be a helper. So that's what we do. We want to help, but we can't be your mamas.
All right. Well, same thing. And I like that you said we can't be our mamas, because at the same time, I can't be your father. Right. And reason why I say that, sometimes it can be misconstrued. Like, sometimes when you get in a relationship, you want to do what's best for the individual, and you're trying to protect her in ways that maybe she don't understand. Just like a woman would try to protect a man in a way that he don't understand. Well, she like you, and we're so oblivious to it. Like, no, but a woman knows a woman, right? So you should take her word. To face value, right? And so when there's certain behavior corrections that we may suggest or whatever it may be, next thing you hear coming out of a woman's mouth, you're not my dad. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to be your dad. I'm trying to be your man. But at the same time, this is my way also in protecting you as well. Just like you can't be my mom, I can't be your father, right? And we're not here to be each other's parents. We're here, you know, not only to make each other better, but we're here as, you know, in a relationship, a committed relationship. We're here to take each other's word and suggestions, open to face value and those type of things as well. So I always think about that too, because I hear that a lot, you know, even like from my, like, I'm just the way I am. Like, even if I'm talking to my sister, mm-hmm. or whatever, my cousins or whatever, you always talk, you think you're somebody's daddy. Well, I am. I got a daughter and stuff, but at the same time, that's not what I'm trying to. That's not what I'm trying to be. I'm looking at it from a different lens. I am a protector. I am just like women are nurturers. A man's job is to nourish. So my job is to provide you with every good substance in order to help you grow and develop. So what I'm doing, I'm trying to give you this substance in order to help you grow and develop. And your job is to care for that. Your job is to care for that. That's what nurturing does. They tend to the plants. They nurture it. They care for it. You care for the kids. You nurture them. You care for them. My job is to provide every necessary substance for the whole to grow.
That's good.
That's good.
And that's why it gets out of order, yeah. Right? Yeah. Because right. We try to do that when it's real. And you had an interesting post the other day. I don't remember what it was, but it was something about a man or a father. And
it's not home. The family's in danger.
Yes, and you know, some of the backlash you kind of got, but what I see is a bigger issue of how men and fathers in general are treated in our society, and not really honored, and so therefore it's like, then I'll just do it. And the thing of it is if you don't allow a man to be a man, then don't get upset with what you get. I hate to say it that simple, but like Tim said, and you have to know that men communicate differently too. You know, again, it's not about being abusive. It's not about being disrespectful. But as Tim said, the world view for a man is one of protector and provider. And so if you can receive that in that way and allow him to be a man in that way, but we're not used to that, because we're not used to hearing the voice of our fathers. I'm just talking about from physically. We're not used to hearing the voice of our fathers. And so then it's hard to receive that when you're in a relationship with what Pastor calls a whole man or a real man. And as women, unfortunately, sometimes you have had a bad experience or you haven't had a dad. And so that becomes a point of tension as well. But that is really good, Tim, that we nourish what you provide.
Yes, and I think that status was taken
But see, that's the daddy complex you're talking about. Mm-hmm. That's it right there. Yeah. That's what dad did. He took care of everything.
Yeah, and sometimes people, you know, they can tend to miss that. Just like when I'm talking about that, they're like, oh, well, you know, you heard a lot of scenarios. It was abusive, da-da-da-da. I said fathers, and it doesn't necessarily have to mean the biological father of your children. I said fathers.
Right.
Like, understand there's a head, there's a physical man, there's a body in
absolutely
the household.
To be respected.
To
yes.
And if that's key point is missing, you're in danger. I don't care what you say.
Right.
You're in danger. You might not be in, like, physical danger, right? But you're missing a key point to help
key
you
point
develop and to help the kids develop. Understand, like, when I say we are nourishers, men, take... walk into your roles as being a nourisher. Provide every good substance in order for your wife, your spouse, boy, girlfriend, children to grow. To grow. Like, I don't want to put anything else out there, but we have to do that. And we have to continue to step up. Because I was thinking today, and this is I love this thought. I don't know no deadbeat dads around me. I don't.
Right.
All my brothers, all my cousins, all of them take care of their children.
Right.
You know, all my brothers, my cousins, they've been in relationships. They've been married for 10 plus years, 14 plus years, 18 plus years. You know what I mean? Been together with their wives, 8th grade, 9th grade.
That's great.
You know, so when I say fathers, I'm not speaking about no deadbeat because I don't know no deadbeats. I can't
right
relate to that.
Right.
I can't relate to that. So understand where I'm coming from when I speak, or if you come to my page and you see that, understand where I'm coming from.
Right.
I don't know no deadbeats. I can name a million good fathers right now.
Right. And that's good. That's great. And, you know, to have good examples before mm-hmm you is good, too. And a lot of people say, well, I don't know how to be a man. But a man... God commands a man to love his wife.
Mm-hmm.
That's the beginning of being a man. And you have to love God, too. Mm-hmm. You know, he is first where love is concerned. That's how we learn to love, because we love God first. Because if he didn't love us first, we wouldn't know anything
correct
about love. And he says, love your wife. And wives, respect and honor your husbands. Mm-hmm. Where you're saying they need to be revered. They need mm-hmm to be... built up and said, well, you know, thank you for doing that today. You know, I really appreciate that. Or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Whatever
absolutely
you do, whatever you bring to the table. And that's what I remember about my dad. And he'd tell you, your mama don't have no bills. These are my bills.
Mm-hmm.
You know? He was proud. Yeah. You know, these are my bills. You know, he'd throw them on the table. Your mom don't have no bills here. And we saw that as girls. Dad got his check. Cashier's check, grocery store. Next place, go to the store. What we need, socks, underwear, dress, pants, whatever, you know. He did that. He made sure there was food, there was clothing, there was a roof over our head. He did that. Half the time, mom didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And that clip I sent you all, Miles Monroe, that's what he said. She's looking for a father.
Mm-hmm.
And that was so real, I had to share that, because a lot of people say, well, yes, you are. You are my provider. Because that's what my dad was.
Well, one of the things Miles Monroe said in one of his other videos, too, was, you know, before Eve was created, Adam had a whole garden he took care of.
Mm-hmm.
So when you meet a man, you should be observing what garden he's taking care
ooh
of. Why are you giving him stuff and paying his bills and whatever the case may be?
Right,
okay, because
right,
again,
right,
we get out of order.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So I'm going to do this as a woman to help you in this because I love you. No. Where? How is he tending his garden?
Right.
And then how you can come alongside him? Now, am I saying that you should never date someone that doesn't have a job? I'm not necessarily saying that. I'm saying you should observe his behavior to see his character, to see if he's going to be able to provide for you.
Right.
Absolutely.
Or be a provider.
Because,
yes.
I mean, there's a difference between somebody going through a tough time, not having a job, right? We all been there. To somebody just not wanting to get a job.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You can
right
tell it. You can tell the difference. And not saying, like, I had a thought, too, today was, you know, there's some fathers that may struggle to take care of their kids. Or whatever it may be, there may be some type of struggle there, but as long as he's putting in the effort, right? Because I know I know some people who don't do that at all. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Who who can care less.
Yeah.
Right? And to me, if you don't care about your family, you can't care about me.
Right.
One bit. That's if you can't care about the seed that you laid down and created,
mm-hmm.
you can't have no loyalty or nothing, none of that to me.
Right.
You know what I mean? So same thing. You know, what type of garden are you attending? Be observant. Be diligent in what you see. You know, one thing I tell people, I don't distrust anybody. Reason being because I have eyes that can see, I have ears that can hear, and I'm a trust what I see until there's evidence that is consistent with what you're doing. So you could be a liar. I'm just not going to take your word for 100% face mm-hmm. value until I see that you have made a change on a consistent basis to where you're telling the truth.
Right.
I don't have time to sit there and distrust you. I'm going to trust what I see.
Oh, my.
That's so good.
This is really good. I mean, this is good food, you know, and our society
mm-hmm.
is out of alignment where relationships are concerned, where marriages are concerned, and how to prepare ourselves actively for marriage. Because mm-hmm. We've already, like, had the sex, moved in together, had the baby, got the ring. That's Brett brought that in.
Yes, she did. She was preaching.
Yeah, Christian college, you know, she mm-hmm. observed these things and living together for years, these young people are not married. So is God pleased with that? I mean, this book is called Outdated mm-hmm. because our society has dated the Word of God. Mm-hmm. They've changed the concept of what God's Word says. Mm-hmm. So this is why he says this book is outdated. God's way is outdated. Mm-hmm. Not that society's way is outdated, but it has overwhelmed and taken the place of God's word.
It made it super complex, didn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
It was simple.
Absolutely. Purpose, you know, absolutely.
Align with him, you know, those things. And then we get into today's day and age, and it's like people be in situationships, and you see statuses that say complicated. Like, that shouldn't even be a relationship status. Complicated.
I know, that's right.
You know what I mean? Are you in a relationship or not? Yes or no? Right, are you single or are you with somebody?
Right.
Nowadays, it's just so confusing.
It's complicated.
Yeah, it's complicated. I don't know what that means.
Exit stage left. That's what that means to me.
That's a red flag, right?
That is so good, Tim.
Can't do complicated, right?
We have made things complicated. I think part of it is just because we're not willing to be alone.
By any means necessary.
And it's hard. It's hard. You know, I get it. It's not easy to be alone, but it's so worth it. It's so worth it to become home, to become whole because of the legacy you're going to leave, especially when you have children. You know, and again, I know it's hard, but why would you compromise bringing someone into your children's life, male or female, that is not going to sow into their lives and be an example that you want them to be?
True.
I don't understand that.
True.
But I'm an educator. I have a different point of view, but I just don't.
And that's where a lot of women struggle. That's where they struggle, right there. They think this is going to happen. It doesn't happen. And it comes down to the point where the kids can't stand the man, and he don't even want to be bothered.
Mm-hmm. I hear this a lot. And it's with various different couples. I mean, talking different cultures and all that. A man may enter into a relationship with a woman and she has kids. And the man is trying to show the younger kids, especially the younger men, how to be men. And oftentimes what I see is the woman will not even allow that man to even guide that kid.
He can't
say nothing to the kid. He can't, in a sense, protect. Like, he's trying, when a man is trying to teach another boy to become a man, he's protecting him. And he's showing him how to protect himself. See, there's a difference between mama bear and papa bear.
Yes.
So if somebody messes with Mama Bear's child, Mama Bear gonna get that somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But when Papa Bear sees somebody messing with that child, Papa Bear gonna say, "Hey, you better learn how to protect yourself, mm-hmm. because that ain't going to be the only one that's going to mess with you. And mama ain't going to be able to save you all the time.
That's true.
Right? So we're teaching them how to not only protect themselves, but we're teaching them how to be men. And oftentimes women will step in between that, from what I've seen, they will step in between that and not let that man do his job as a man, you know, because, oh, that's not his biological, you're not the biological dad or whatever it may be. I read in a book, in this old apocryphal book, it was in the book of Sirach, it said, fathers, don't be, it said, be a father to that child first.
Right.
If you're going to be with the woman, be a father to that child
Absolutely.
First.
Absolutely.
Right, and that verse in Sirach stuck with me. Be a father to those kids first.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Because the rest will come. It will come, you know. You don't have to really struggle with that. Because I want to see somebody appreciate my children, mm-hmm. like I do. Mm-hmm. You know, care about them and their welfare. And, you know, that they're protected. Or you give them tools that they can mm-hmm. use. Because they got to leave the house. They got to go to school. Yeah. They got to go to work one mm-hmm. day. They're going to marry somebody one day. So if you are equipped with those things, then please share it with others. We are out of time. It's just running so doggone fast. And I'm like, wow, it has been really rich. And this is just the beginning. We're just getting back on the air. So we have to do more.
Absolutely.
We have to do more because.
Ms. Sims, you got a couple of people, they want to come up here and be guests on your show.
Oh, really?
Yeah. One of my buddies, Chris Mack, and he's real profound dude. He real cool. He country a little bit from Mississippi.
Okay.
I think he'll be a blessing to the show as well.
Oh, great. Yeah. Okay. You'll have to bring him next time then.
I will.
Yeah, we'll do another show. Absolutely. I have to keep this going because I know certain people like it. And it's helping other people. And it's helping me. It's helping you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
To reiterate these things, you know, because we're actively working on ourselves.
Yes.
To be a mate.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. A good husband or a good wife.
Mm-hmm.
Or a good friend.
Yes.
However it comes, you know, however it comes. So, last words.
Kimberly. Well, I'm glad to be back. I'm thankful for the opportunity. And I would just challenge everyone to really not be afraid to be alone.
Absolutely. Tim?
You know, just continue to, you know, self-improve, you know, but keep the foundation of God.
Yes.
Hold God close. His principles never steer you in the wrong direction, you know, and just continue to be better. Be better than what you was yesterday. Be better than what you was 5 minutes ago.
Yep.
Yes, absolutely.
So good.
Absolutely. I was telling a young couple yesterday, you just be the best you can be.
Yeah.
You know, then you have to worry about people putting you down. You just be the best you can be. Whatever role you're in, wife, a mate, housekeeper, be the best.
Right.
If you're the guy, be the best guy, be the best husband, the best father, you know, the best provider. Do your best as unto the Lord. That's what God says.
As
whatever
unto
you
the Lord.
Do, you know,
yes,
do your
so good.
Best as unto the Lord. Well, thank you for tuning in to A Voice of a People live here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. My guests today, Kimber Hubbard and Tim Jones, thank you once again. We will be doing another show. I will let you know in advance when that will be. It won't be too long from now anyway. But I thank you for being a part of this show. Until next time, God bless. Thank you.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio. The place to talk. Bob McGrath from Sesame Street.
Who are the people in your neighborhood? In your neighborhood? In your neighborhood? Say, who are the people in your neighborhood? The people that you meet when you're walking down the street. The people that you meet each day.
Legendary newsman Hugh Downs. Did you ever think you would be referring to the NBC News anchor as doing something this stupid?
No, I never did think I would. I didn't think that could happen because, first of all, I think the way NBC itself has handled this is really not as smart as it could be. There could be a, you know, they got to quit using words like mistake and error and start saying what the truth is. That's what they're trying to get out. If they do that, they could get some public restoration of their credibility and help themselves a lot, but they're not doing that. They're still willing to call it a mistake, and that's dumb. It is dumb.
Legendary actor from Barney.